Hey there, my friend. It's Trisha Carr. Real quick before we head into this episode, I just want to make sure that you know about Modern Mystic Life, a subscription service for spiritual mentoring and education. The monthly subscription is only $11.11 per month. We have regular support and inspiration delivered with the utmost ease right into your text messenger 2 to 4 times per week. You can use your mobile device or your desktop messenger to access the lessons and meditations, a monthly MP3 download of a produced meditation, at least once per month live meditation led by me. There is no account login, and we have a monthly live class workshop. These are usually $35 for non-subscribers, so it is quite a deal. And the community is amazing. This is a way for you to support the Charmed Life podcast and also a way for us to be able to work more closely together. So do check out how you can subscribe in the show notes. I hope to see you there. Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe, and I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. And welcome to this episode with a very special guest. I'm so excited to bring you into this harmonizing and synchronizing conversation with Lisa Boat. Now, before I introduce Lisa to you and our really awesome conversation, of course, I want to invite you to follow this podcast if you haven't yet. Subscribe, that's another way to say it, but some apps say follow, some say subscribe. And if you will please also, if you're so inclined, leave a review. That is so valuable to helping me to be able to keep the light shining in this podcast. And it's also a way for us to be able to connect on a deeper level. So I invite you to scroll down in your podcast app, leave some stars, write a few words, and then, of course, share it with anyone that you think would benefit from it. Now, I also have in the show notes Lisa's information, my guest, as well as all of the things that I'm offering. I have many programs on demand at this time, including my multidimensional mediumship, my animal communication, my fairies and nature elementals manifestation course. These are really immersive programs, and they are on demand, available to you now. And there is also a live component that you are welcome to add to it, and you can do that by being a part of one of those on-demand courses or not. It's my Sacred Sphere program, which is a community twice per month getting together to learn, to meditate, and to practice your manifestation practice, as well as intuitive abilities and intuition. Now, you don't have to be an intuitive reader to come to this. You could be there to develop your own intuition, to receive readings from expert readers, and to practice manifestation practices that I'm teaching in this. And we are, like I said, meeting twice per month, and it's a beautiful community. Wholeheartedly invite you to all of that. I invite you to check the show notes here so you can get all of these things, as well as my very special gift for you, which is a meditation for connecting with synchronism. This is something that I think is so integral to the conversation I'm having with my guest. So let me talk about the meditation here in a moment, because I want to go ahead and introduce my guest to you. Her name is Lisa Boat. Lisa Boat, the passional force behind Lean In, Finding Your Way Home Coaching. As an experienced educator, certified menopause specialist, and dedicated Reiki practitioner, Lisa's mission is to guide and support women on their transformative journeys, especially during the challenging phases of the empty nest and perimenopause-menopause transition. In practice, Lisa creates nurturing spaces where women can rediscover their essence, reconnecting with their body, heart, mind, and soul. Lisa's purpose is to help women navigate this pivotal chapter of life with grace and empowerment. Through personalized coaching, Lisa empowers women to reclaim their magic, helping them script the next chapter of their lives, where they are the lead character, deserving of passion, vitality, and peace. This work is deeply personal to Lisa because she is traversing the uncharted territories of the empty nest and grappling with the changes in her own perimenopausal body. Lisa invites you to embark on this empowering journey of self-discovery and transformation. And I invite you to open your heart to this episode, whether you are someone who is or will or already has gone through menopause, perimenopause, or not, whether you are someone who is going to or shall or already has experienced empty nesting. It's just something we can all relate to. I am 49, as I think I mentioned in this conversation, and I'm 49, so I'm right at that area of starting perimenopause, but it's like I've started and stopped it. In this conversation, you hear me say to Lisa, I think I just started perimenopause today, but since then it's gone away again, so who knows? But anyway, I'm in that age range where this tends to start happening for us. And one of my younger mentees, a woman who is in her mid-30s, she asked me off the cuff one day, because I think she was talking about her own cycle, and she's like, Do you still have a cycle? Like, I don't even know. Like, when does that happen? Is that the right? Are you? And I was like, hey, yeah, no, that's a great question. And I do still have mine, but I am at that age. And she's like, I don't even know when that happens. I'm like, yeah, I hear you. I kind of didn't know about it either until I started to get close to it, because I had started to Google it, you know? It wasn't talked about. And, you know, I had a unique situation, I think, because my mother actually had a hysterectomy when she was like in her early 30s. So I didn't have any modeling or conversation of that, because hers was, you know, reorganized how that might have occurred for her. But it's just not talked about, not in a broad way. And I think it's really valuable for us to think about these things. Now, and I do not have human children of my own, so empty nest isn't something I am directly going to experience in my life. But, you know, I have animals, and I have friends, and I have loved ones. And so I just find all of these conversations deeply spiritual and interesting and beneficial for us to understand wherever we are in correlation or relation to these things. So Lisa's work and inspiration in this area, I just find it so valuable. Anyway, as I said, do check the show notes for the gift that I have for you, which is a meditation. It's about moderate length meditation, which is connecting with synchronism. Because we were talking about cycles in this, so I asked Spirit, what would be something good that I can, you know, add to this episode as a special offering? And that's what came to mind, because we're talking about cycles. We're talking about different times of life, transitions. And so whatever it is we're experiencing as a cycle or a transition, it is perfectly synchronized for us and for the whole universe. So that's why I'm offering that. Free gift to you. So now here we go. Lisa's name, by the way, her last name is spelled B-O-A-T-E. And of course, you can find her links in the show notes. So welcome to this conscious conversation with Lisa Boat. Would you please let the audience know what your journey has been like and the work that you're doing, because it's phenomenal and I want to hear more about it.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, my work and my journey are really intertwined. So mm-hmm. I was an educator for 20 years mm-hmm. and I went into education directly out of school, and it never felt like a place that I was really welcome to be in. So I was a person who, I love kids. I loved supporting learning and curiosity. But the institution of education I found to be very, very challenging. And I was always in a place where I was trying to change it, and it was yeah. trying to change me. Mm. And it came to a point just before COVID happened, a year or two before that, where I turned to my partner, my husband, and I said, I don't think I can do this for the rest of my career. And needless to say, that's a pretty scary proposition for a family member, you know, because teaching is pretty stable, right? So, yeah. saying, I want to leave this behind to be an entrepreneur and to jump into something totally fresh and new was not an easy conversation. So it took us a couple of years to navigate that and for me to really get to a place. And it took the universe actually like kicking down the door and saying, yeah, this place is no longer for you. And that happened in a number of different, very sequenced events. And so I got to the last event and where I was for the last 10 years of my career, I had been coaching other educators and providing professional development.
Oh, great.
And I loved that work. That work was mostly around supporting kiddos who speak multiple languages. So there's a lot of anti-oppression work in that. And when you're doing that in a system, you don't necessarily make a lot of friends. And so I went from that work to teaching grade six online in a closet under the stairs, literally.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
How? Was it because of the pandemic? But why? Yeah. Why in that?
Yeah. So I had written a job actually for that was the next phase for what our system needed. And I was unsuccessful in getting that job. And so I had to apply to a school. And the job that I got was teaching grade six online. It was 2021. So it was still pandemic time. And for those of us who are teaching online, there weren't classrooms. So the space was literally a closet under the stairs. And I loved the kids in that space, but it was incredibly energy expensive to show up in that way every day to make a space for kids where they wanted to come and be there. And I loved coaching, like in the decade before where I had learned about coaching and being actively engaged in that work, I knew that that was my passion. That was where I really needed to be. So I took a year's leave from education to see what I could do. And I officially resigned in June and I launched my company Lean
This year? Mm-hmm. In 23?
Yeah, in 23.
That's when I met you.
Yes.
I don't remember. Had you already done it then when we met?
I think it was right around that time.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a huge leap. And so I founded my business Lean In, Finding Your Way Home Coaching. And at the same time as what was happening for me professionally, what was happening to me in my personal life was my children were heading into their late teen years. And I had this, I still remember it. I was sitting outside of my deck and I had always thought that the transition into, you know, sort of them being more independent and doing their thing would be gradual. Turns out it is not at all. The transition to them suddenly being their own people and being independent and doing their own thing happens almost as instantaneously as a new human coming into your world.
Having a baby. Yeah.
A while. And I was not anticipating that. So that happened. And I realized I was on the other side of everything I had ever dreamed for my life. Because the narrative in front of us is school, career, young family. And then there's sort of like the distant idea of retirement.
Yeah.
But there is.
But that happens so far away. And how do you do that anyway? Who knows? It just happens naturally.
That's right. Exactly. So I realized I was in a phase of my life I had never even considered. Yeah. I had never even thought about what this part of my life would be or feel like, because every way I had defined myself in terms of roles, which were actually outside of myself, but roles that I was playing, that's how I defined myself. And all of those roles fell away. And so I was left with, well, who am I? And how do I want this next chapter to be?
Yeah.
And so that's what brought me to where I am now.
And we were starting to get into the conversation of just how, maybe especially with women, I know men have their own challenges in transforming. They particularly, men have, and if we, you know, pardon us for being binary for a bit, but men have an issue at retirement. Some men, not all men, but it's common for men to have an issue around retirement. And then there's also this other thing when men can't drive their car anymore, like mm-hmm. when they get their driver's license taken away. Both of these things are devastating to their identity mm-hmm. because, I mean, it wouldn't be for my husband. He'd be like, perfect. I'm going to climb mountains or whatever he could do if he's 80, if his body still works that way. But yeah. some men, like, that's been their purpose. But for women, it's like just gauzy and of obscurity. Like, it's not addressed.
No.
Because, and I wonder if it has to do with the, you know, think of culture, the emphasis on the maiden and the mother. And Crone is like, ew, no. Yeah. But she's beautiful. And by the way, the crone has the mother and the maiden within her, no matter what. Like, they are interdependent, beautiful aspects of the divine spiritual feminine for humans. And so I shared with you privately, and I'm going to share it publicly because why not?
Please do.
I just took a step into perimenopause. Finally, I'm 49. It seems like it should have started already, but you know, it happens at all different times. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But even just that, our cycles they're shameful. Oh my goodness. And we have so much, we are so fortunate to be in the Western world because during the pandemic, I follow Nitika Chopra, and she's Indian, and she is an activist. And she had a campaign going to help to get young Indian girls during the pandemic, young women even, sanitary napkins mm-hmm. and, you know, just all of the things to support their feminine hygiene. Because during the pandemic, their lockdown was such that only one person was allowed to go out about to get supplies about once per week, because it was really devastating for that, you know, that part of the world. And they cannot speak about their cycle. Mm-hmm. So there were young women and there were women at home who could not take care of themselves hygienically. Because of course a man is going to be the one that went, and they would be shamed and punished. And it would be like an absolute insult for the young woman to mention her cycle, mm-hmm. let alone expect him to provide her with hygienic products. So of course we have it even way better than something like that. But it's still not spoken of.
Yeah.
And the expiration of the feminine doesn't expire.
No, it does not.
And we will be right back. Hello, Charmed Life listener. It's Trisha, and I am making a special invitation for you to Sacred Sphere. This is a bi-monthly communal learning, practice, and resonance space. It is your community for intuition, manifestation, and spiritual development. It's happening twice per month, and there are special benefits if you subscribe so that you can go to every one of these or see the replays. It is a place for your deep, immersive healing and your powerful manifestation practice to unfold in your life. I'm so excited about this. The vision for this is large and wonderful. We're going to be changing our own lives, and I believe we're going to be changing the world. So check it out. The link is in the description. We can't wait to work with you, to see you, to love you there. Empowered Empath. This is a program designed for the sensitive soul, for the person with that empathic nature. And by the way, that is a healing ability. However, this is a healing ability that you can't turn off. You cannot turn off your empathic nature, because it's more than just a psychic or healing ability. It is also how you are designed. So the Empowered Empath is a powerful program that is also gentle, consists of 4 modules with 8 life-altering lessons, 4 aura tuning meditations, and we have bonus group healing and coaching sessions that are coming up really soon. You definitely want to check the show notes so you can see when those are coming up. You have access to it for a whole year. You'll be able to continue to water the garden of your empathic nature. You'll learn how to feel centered and peaceful as a sensitive person, how to use your gifts as a superpower that they are meant to be, and you'll be receiving attunement and healing and new life strategies to live in the power and purpose of your sensitive nature. It's especially tailored for those who want to turn their empathic and sensory overwhelm into intuitive strength. It is immersive, yet very gentle program, and it's suitable for all levels of development. And I especially recommend it for those whose human design body graph reveals that they have an undefined emotional solar plexus. So if you are just ready to turn that sensitive sponging into the thing that we really need right now, we need your sensitive genius shining on this planet to be in the high frequency, high functioning of your sensitive superpower. So join Empowered Empath. You have access to the lessons starting right away. Oh, by the way, it's very affordable and even comes with payment plans. Only $177 for all of this content. And you can make a payment plan of 3 months or 6 months. I made it extremely affordable and accessible because I know what it's like to need the help. So if it's your first time of really healing your empathic nature, or you need to do it another time, this is the program for you. I can't wait to see you there. And now back to the show.
So when you said I've stepped into perimenopause, I said, congratulations, you know, welcome. I'm glad that you're here, because that phase of life is one not talked about. It's very silent. Like I'm having, as I said, I'm just stepping into this role and really owning the title of menopause coach. But when men ask me, what do you do? And I say, I'm a transformational menopause coach. They're like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not limited to men. Talking about women's health is something that we don't do anywhere in the culture, mm-hmm. particularly. We certainly don't do it very well, because there is so much stigma. And there is so much, and I was saying to you before, you know, women's bodies are so complex that it has
no kidding.
But it has become an excuse for why we don't value and spend the money in research, in really figuring it out. And I will say one of the things that I loved most about the training that I did to become a menopause coach was, throughout the course continually, was the refrain of, every woman is different. Every woman's body functions differently. Every woman's experience is different because of their physicality and because of their lived realities. And so you'd have to treat the woman in front of you.
Yeah.
And we live in a culture where we want everyone to fit into specific boxes of, oh, you know, there's this. This is what perimenopause looks like. So the things that we think we know when we hear about that are hot flashes. Mm-hmm. Oh, hot flashes and night sweats. And those are the things that happen. And then you move on. That is like this much of the story. And it's a curated story. Like, yes, those things happen, but they don't for everyone. Mm-hmm. And
I've had like three night sweats, and that's it. But I haven't had any hot flashes.
Yes.
So I don't know. And the hot flashes, again, like that, when that happens big fat in front of everyone, what are you going to do? You know?
Yep.
Because it does. I've been around women. I haven't had one, but I've been around women having them, and they have to. Can you imagine how, again, if people are uncomfortable with it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not having a heart attack. I'm having a hot flash. That's what's, you know, but it's so stigmatized at the worst, and then just like shut out at best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, at best, obviously at best is, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Do you need anything? You want a glass of water? You know, like make it normal, make it okay. Just like move on.
Yes. Here's an ice pack. Put it on the back of your neck. That will really help. There's things that we can do, but because of the layers of shame that exist around women's cyclical health in particular, it's really challenging to make spaces where women can have these experiences in respectful and dignified ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so amazing, because I really didn't know. I know that you work with transitions, and I inferred into this that it possibly also had to do with hormonal health and transitions and balancing and everything. But I didn't know that you specifically are a menopause coach now. And I'm telling you guys, the synchronicity of this is weird, because it was right before we started the podcast. I was like, wait, I think I'm having cramps, but that's weird. Mm-hmm. And I just read that shorter cycles are one of the big symptoms of perimenopause. And so I just started perimenopause because of meeting with you.
Of course.
not because of meeting
you. You're welcome.
You made me a perimenopause.
That's what I do. It's like, I sprinkle my menopause dust.
But no, what it is the how spirit really synchronizes everything so beautifully. And that's what we're talking about, the cyclical nature of a woman, her health and everything. And the fact that this is somehow not embraced is contrary to nature and contrary to spirit. Mm-hmm. And we have this artificial evening out of cycles that we mostly adhere to, you know, except for the fact that we have like winter holidays and then whatever else we have. But those aren't even a part of nature, really. Like those are also artificially imposed. Even our new year is completely artificial. It's nothing to do with season.
Yeah.
It's, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot of the reason why I resonate so deeply with the pagan world, because
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Is the holidays that we have absconded
yeah.
are connected to the earth and to nature, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I always feel like the most sacred day of the year is December 21st or 22nd, right. whichever the winter solstice falls on. And in that mm-hmm. deep darkness, right? That just feels really sacred at that time. And so that's where I always feel that connection to cycle and to rhythm. And when we really tap into what's happening in our bodies and what's happening on the earth, that's where we see those cycles, right? I live in Ontario, Canada. So I live in a deeply seasonal place. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I actually can't imagine, although, I mean, in March, I'm over it. I'm over winter. However, I can't imagine living without those cycles, because I feel the way they work in my energy and in the way I'm experiencing the world through how nature is cycling through. And so if we think about that maiden, mother and crone analogy, you know, the spring is when we're feeling that maiden energy of new and fresh. And then mother happens in summertime, right? Where we're living in the light and we're working toward harvest. And the thing that I love about the solstice is that it's so deeply connected with crone. Yeah. And I feel like it's a great way to unwind some of the negative stereotype around that there is this deep beauty. Mm-hmm. In a little bit of stillness and a little bit of quietness and a little bit of darkness. It might not be as glamorous as the other seasons or the other phases, but it is deeply connected.
And it's faith, mm-hmm. because the solstice is the shortest day of the year, when we are furthest from the sun. And then it's going to the very next day, we've moved just closest, we move closer to the sun again. Mm-hmm. And so it is the energy of having faith that the light comes again.
Yes.
And if we just look at our life, even as a crone, as if we are nearing the end of our life, and we can either be in fear and resistance to the fact that this life is changing over to something else or ending, if we think of it that way, mm-hmm. or we can have the gratitude and wealth of the whole life. And maybe the light is coming again in another way. What, you know, we don't, even if we have the paradigm that makes sense to us of reincarnation, we don't really know it from this perspective, but mm-hmm. we feel something must make sense, because each day, every diurnal cycle, it's like a whole new life. So there, mm-hmm. it seems like it makes sense to me that the soul is designed that way, not just the life is designed that way, but still I like to keep the student's mind that I won't know, but the hope of it. And if anything else, again, the gratitude of it, I mm-hmm. have had this and I own all of this. Nothing is going away. Mm-hmm. I'm richer and wealthier right now. So in the darkest day with the shortest amount of light, where we're furthest away from sun, furthest away from the giver of life, the sun, then we have the hope and we have the gratitude of it coming the next day. And I agree. I obviously love the solstice too. I love the pagan holidays.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I'm European heritage. And so mm-hmm. I'm actually a Norse and Celtic and both from way back when we from Norse, and then in Celtic, a little more recent in my ancestry, of women, of witches.
Yes.
So I really embrace all of that very much.
Same. Yes. I have, my roots are very much grounded in the Celtic world. And so actually one of the last episodes of my podcast, I had a woman on and we were talking about healing our witch wounds, which is such powerful work. And is again, another feature of one of the things that is really beautiful about this transitional time, because I talk a lot about the alchemy that happens between when your physical body is changing, as well as every way you've known yourself in the world up until this point is also changing. And so those, all those elements of who we are, our identity, our physicality, it's all unfolding, right? It's almost, it's all unraveling. And that can feel scary, but at the same time, it's this moment of incredible liberation where you actually get to start asking yourself questions like, who am I and what do I want? Mm-hmm. And those two questions, the majority of women that I see and work with have never even had the opportunity to ask themselves. And even when we were younger, you know, when we think back to those earlier cycles, when we were making decisions, we had some agency in it, yes. However, there still was a lot of external pressure for the decisions that we were making. So it's now when we've had all of this lived experience, when we've had a vast array of relationships and interactions, that we now come to this place of much deeper wisdom than when I was, you know, in my younger years, mm-hmm. and being able to write who I really want to be in this world. And so that is why, part of why I'm so passionate about this work as well, is that, you know, there's a lot of negative stereotype around menopause, but my goal is to change that into, like, are there some uncomfortable physical things that happen? Absolutely. Yeah, there are. I'm not going to deny that. However, this is a time for you where you actually get to focus on your health. You get to focus on everything about you, and you get to liberate yourself from all the things that you no longer serve you in your life.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And, you know, we talked about how like there isn't a lot known about it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, for example, my mother, when she was 33, she actually had a hysterectomy. And I remember when she was in her mid 40s and I was in high school then, she was like, I don't know if I'm going to have menopause because I don't know what, she's like, I don't know what organs I have or I don't have. Like she either didn't remember or they didn't really inform her or they told her and she didn't get it. So she didn't know, like, do I have ovaries? Does that mean I'll have a menopause or not? Like, so she had no idea. And she probably didn't, I mean, I guess maybe she could have gone to her gynecologist and asked questions, but, and then, so other than that, I haven't had anyone, friends in high school from high school and, you know, from my age group. And they're starting to go like, wait, I think I just started my perimenopause. All of a sudden I'm sweating. Like, what do I do now? And I'm like, I don't know. What do we do? Actually, my best friend from junior high, we were best friends in sixth and seventh grade. And then I moved out of Texas, but she started her period exactly 1 month before me. I started exactly 1 month after her. It was over the summer.
Yeah.
So cute. So a few months ago she was posting, she's like, okay guys, if you're uncomfortable with this, you might want to pass this one. But I just started perimenopause. I started getting night sweats, and she went to, she called it something like the witch store. It was some kind of holistic store. And they gave her some kind of supplement. She said, it's amazing. You know, so she got a supplement that was helping her in those early stages. And she was like, she goes, apparently it's kind of like you talking about with the kids. She goes, it doesn't happen gradually. It happens overnight. I don't know. It just started like that.
Yeah. And again, that depends on, it's so individual to every woman, right? So it has been a bit of a gradual build for me. Like a couple of years ago, it was during COVID actually. I started having night sweats and I was like, what's that about? But my cycle remained very consistent.
Yeah.
And it's hit or miss. I had my first hot flash just in the spring, actually. actually. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Things are ramping up now. I see. I understand.
It's go time.
Yeah. But every woman's experience is so different. Yeah. And there are some women who don't actually have any symptoms at all. Like, I've spoken to women who are like, yeah, just my period just stopped one day and that was it. So it is really, and that's why it's so important to really tune in and pay attention to your body. You know, when you're talking about your friend who was posting about that and thinking back to, I was like, yeah, in many ways it is like when we were first getting our periods, right? Mm-hmm. That, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's so much secrecy around it and don't tell anyone about it. And actually one of my most embarrassing stories ever comes from that time in my life, because I got my period when I was in grade 6. So I was 11.
Yeah, I was 11. It was between 6th and 7th grade. So yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my grade 6 teacher, so I told a couple of friends, but again, there's that culture of like secrecy, don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And my teacher at the end of the school day said, hey, Lisa, can you stay? I need to talk to you. And I did not ever get in trouble at school. So my heart was already racing. I'm like, why would I need to stay after school? And she said, one of my classmates, a boy, Nathan, his mother called and said that Nathan came home and said that you got your period and that it is his fault. And I was like,
what?
What? Exactly. Like, I was so, imagine at 11 years old.
Mortified.
Yeah. My grade 6 teacher, who was female, thankfully, but the grade 6 male teacher happened to be standing in the doorway as we're having this conversation. And my dad worked at the school. So there was all of this, like,
I'm like, why are they involving the 11-year-old girl? If an 11-year-old boy had this weird thought, who knows why he had it? Why did they even tell you?
Yeah, well, because apparently people in the class were telling him. So she was asking me, did you?
But it doesn't involve you. Did you? Okay, I guess.
She's did you tell someone that it was Nathan's fault that you got your period? I was like, no, I don't.
I don't even know how that works.
I'm pretty sure it has nothing, but I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with him. And it is that level of misinformation, of not understanding how women's bodies work. And then again, we start seeing that same kind of like narrative happen at this phase of life and coming back into that, like, I don't know, why is this happening? What's happening? What can I do about it? And it's also why I feel like intergenerational conversation is so important, because when you start investing in your body, when you're in your 20s and 30s, and I know people who are in their 20s and 30s, because I have some girlfriends who I've been having this conversation with, and they're like, you say menopause or perimenopause. They're like, first of all, when? I don't even know what perimenopause is.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know. It's really important for you to know what that is.
Yeah. And it can last 10 years. They say it doesn't usually, I don't think it doesn't often last 10 years though. I keep reading that, but
it can.
It can, I guess, but most of the women that I have been talking to, they're like, yeah, a couple of years, you'll be fine. That's that's the general item. But again, we're just talking about statistics. That doesn't
count
for the individual experience.
General trends. But the more that you pour into your body when you are in your 20s and 30s, the better position that you're in when you head into perimenopause, because there is actually not a single system in your body that is not impacted by the fluctuation of estrogen and progesterone. So even like in this conversation, we've been talking about some of the like really physical things, but it also really impacts your mental health. It impacts your emotional health. Like I said, it impacts the roles that you play in the world. And so the more that you have routines set up in your life that allow you to connect with who you really are, one, and then two as well, the more that you invest in your physicality, in your physical health, in your earlier years, the better. So resistance training is one of the number one things. So it's actually lifting weights and stress reduction. Those are the two game changers for the whole process.
Wow. But also I think I was when I just had a doctor's appointment recently, and the nurse was like checking me out, and she was like, do you still have your cycle? And I was like, yep. And she's like, well, okay, when was the last one? Cause she's, you know, she saw my age, and then she's 48. And she was like, oh, I'm getting so many hot flashes. How are you doing? I'm like, no, not hot flashes yet or anything. And she said, well, you know what? Do you eat sugar? I said, no, like almost never. And she goes, that's going to help you. She said, cause I have a sugar problem. And she said, it's making my symptoms a lot worse, which, so again, what your intake, movement. So I do a lot of walking and hiking and everything and stretching. So this is the trifecta for so far as movement. It is resistance training.
Yeah.
It is also stretching like yoga. And yes. So, you know, you can do, there's some resistance if you do more advanced yoga too. So that's a good thing. It's a twofer. And also with just movement. Mm-hmm. And it is this, the more the investment in our, this is the soil
yes.
that we plant all of our seeds.
Exactly.
And we are conditioned by either our caregivers and or the culture to negate this.
Yes.
And that's why all of us are bad. Not all of us. I'm being a little bit hyperbolic, but we're not good at breathing. We have to learn how to breathe. But breathing nurtures the fire, balances the fire within us, the nervous system. And then that helps the soil to be properly balanced. In every moment that we're stressed, the first thing that we need to do is breathe. And that yes. will actually take care of the stress. But we actually have a training also, a mindset that worry keeps us safe.
Yes.
Worry makes us a good girl or boy. Mm-hmm. It makes us work harder. And that's all false.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. But it keeps us awfully busy, right?
Yeah.
I refer to it as the patriarchal busy box, right? If we are in those programs of, yes, I am safe if I'm worrying. Yes, I am safe if I am working harder than I actually mm-hmm. have capacity to, you know, all of those things. It keeps us, that's what keeps us small, right? It keeps us in the box. And that's why this reconnection to the body is so, is so deeply important and critical.
I posted on the YouTube channel a section. So I have done the last couple of months live channeling with my Modern Mystic subscription platform where I'm channeling an archangel for the whole like 90 minutes. And there's a moderator who's taking questions. And so one person, it was a woman, asked, what do I need to know about my work situation? And the whole message was, what you need to do is breathe. You need to breathe regularly because if you regulate your nervous system, it will make you magnetic because as it is right now, when we are dysregulated, you actually, no one can see you, or not no one, but you know what I mean? Like you aren't recognized for your gifts. Mm-hmm. You can't be seen for who you are. The magnetism is dulled because the nervous system needs to be balanced. And so breathing, as unfortunate for humans, it feels like that's such a bummer to hear that it's so simple because we believe things are really complex and mysterious.
Yep.
Really just breathing. I just get to do that all the time. How can that be the answer? But that's it.
It is.
It's a huge part of it.
Yeah. And I really appreciate what you said around, you know, the myths of complexity, that this all has to be really hard and really painful. Because it actually also can be really joyful and really fun. Mm-hmm. So just before we were talking, you had asked me about my journal that I wrote. And
it was
exactly for this purpose. Because when I'm working with women and I'm talking about somatic reconnection, I always start with breath. Mm-hmm. And sometimes women are still asking me, but how do I actually come back into my body? How do I actually reconnect? So that was sort of floating around in my mind. And I was thinking about what I do for myself. And I also, at the same time, was reflecting on my podcast content. And it had been really pretty heavy for a little while. So I thought, I want to just do something that's kind of joyful and fun. And what's that for me? And for me, it's music. So all of a sudden, I just had this download of like, your life is a soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And what does... when you think about the different areas of your life, what songs come to mind and how do they help you reconnect to your body? Because when we hear a song that we're really deeply connected to, for me anyway, I am immediately like, I can feel the carpet I was sitting on. I can feel what the air felt like around me. I can smell the perfume of my friend who was sitting beside me, whatever it is. So all of that sensory memory starts to flood back in with music because music uses all elements of the brain to process, right? Mm. So that's why I created that journal. So I have a podcast episode about it, but then I created the journal as a practice for people it walks them through how to write the soundtrack of their life and how to choose one song every day to use as a somatic grounding touch point. So in the morning, you sort of think through. And for me, it's just, I close my eyes and I listen and a song will come up. I'm like, that's my song for today. And I'm getting chills.
I love it.
Oh, good. So I use it as a way to come back into my body. And then there's a reflection at the end of the day to think about, how did I intentionally use that throughout the day? And it's been really helpful for people in giving them a really concrete way to reconnect with the somatic self.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I love, and just think about it too. In order to sing that song, you have to breathe correctly, right?
Exactly. Yes.
You're going to join in.
So when you were talking about breath, it made me think about it, because you do have to breathe, and the rhythm gets into that breath cycle.
Mm. Oh, Lisa, this is so amazing. So you have this journal available. Is it available on Amazon and everything?
It is available on Amazon. Yes.
Great. And so we have all of Lisa's links in the show notes here. And how else can people connect with you, work with you? What do you have coming up? Let us know what's going on and how they can be a part of your world.
Yeah. So you can find me anywhere. I'm on all the social media places at Elboat for the most part. I'm sure my website is in the show notes.
Yeah,
and
it is.
The coaching container that I use is called Reclaiming Your Magic. And it is a 3-month, weekly one-to-one sessions with me, as well as daily interactions to make sure that whatever we're talking about in your session is actually being woven into your everyday. And then on Fridays, I have office hours, so we have a quick little connection if that's something that you need. But that's what I'm working on in the world. And every Thursday, my podcast, Transforming 45, comes out. So it's a space for women to come and tell their transformational stories, to start creating a lot of narrative around what this phase of womanhood looks like.
Well, I think I have to come back on, because a few months ago I wasn't Perry and now I'm Perry. So it's like,
yeah,
a whole different transition happening.
We'll keep talking about it because there's a lot. It's a lot.
Oh, this has been so incredible. I just love the work that you're doing. And thank you. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing for our beautiful world and our beautiful divine feminine. You're just really incredible. Thanks for being on.
Oh, well, thank you for making this space. I was really glad to be here today.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. Everyone, this is Lisa Boat. Check her out. And thank you for coming on once more. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, that was just about our show. I had the best time talking with Lisa, and I had the best time hanging out with you guys too. I wanted to give you a couple of more alerts of some things that are going on. And that is, I have my signature courses, my multidimensional mediumship and my animal communication course. They are available. They're actually available on demand. Once again, as I talked about at the beginning of the show, I want to give you something to contemplate. And that is that your mindset is a set of boundaries about how you curate the space, the resonant space of your beautiful energy. The thoughts that you have in your mind, that you allow your mind to be fed, are like guests in your home. And so we want to hold those boundaries in a loving way so that you only have guests in your home that are able to appreciate you and able to help you nurture yourself. That's how we create a wealth mindset, a health mindset, a self-love mindset, a growth mindset. So keep an eye out for when I'm going to be doing these podcasts again. I'm going live on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, and also join my newsletter so that you can catch all of that great content that's coming through. So that's what we have for this episode. I hope that you embrace your divine feminine and that you are well attuned to the beauty of who you are. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.